Hello and welcome to Next 2.0 on WQLN NPR. I'm your host, Marcus Atkinson. Next is produced by the Public's Voice Media. If you want to know more about Next, you can go to Next 2.0 on Facebook, like the page, if you will, share the page. You can also follow us on Instagram at Next 2.0 Erie, and there you can keep up with show promos, events, and clips about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Like the rest of the nation, we have just finished our federal holiday, which is MLK Jr. Day, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. and all of the phenomenal work he has done to advance peace and equality for not just our country, for all of mankind. And in Erie, Pennsylvania, we normally have our march. Start downtown, we march to the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Center here in Erie, and there are refreshments and entertainment, and there's usually a speech at the end where someone brings a message that is reminiscent of Dr. King himself. The weekend prior, there's always a charitable dinner, and at that charitable dinner, people are awarded and rewarded for their work in community, for giving of themselves like Dr. King did. And every time I go to one of these dinners, I sit back and I really think about the African Americans in particular, and don't get me wrong, it takes a village. And I know when they show Dr. King, they will show his I Have a Dream speech, rightfully so. And he dreams of a day where one day we can all come together and our children can play together and we can all be judged by the content of our character and not the color of our skin. And that dream is worthy of not just us remembering, but us trying to aspire to. I think what we forget is that Dr. King was also a fierce proponent of African Americans being proud of who they are and uplifting their own particular neighborhoods, families, and their own particular race. And I know that our brother was very inclusive where race is concerned, but there is a part of that narrative that has to be singled out, because African Americans obviously have had a very tough time in this country. A lot of groups have had tough times in this country. I've had friends help me appreciate some of the struggles of their relatives, whether that's Irish, Italian Americans when they came to this country. Everyone has a narrative. Let me be clear about that. The African American experience in this country is very, very unique, and I think most of us understand that. What we don't do, though, is highlight how Dr. King brought that point across. And he did on multiple occasions. There were times where young people that followed Dr. King were at odds to some degree with Dr. King because they felt that he should be highlighting black power, black excellence, and things along these lines more. And they felt that he was a little too inclusive. I know that at one point that was the issue between he and Malcolm. But Dr. King on multiple occasions made it clear that blackness was something that we should be proud of, and that it was something that we should empower our children with as we become integrated into the greater whole. And it made me think about Erie. And although Erie has been the proverbial village where there have been people from multiple backgrounds, black, white, and other, that have helped make Erie a better community, the contributions of the African-American community on the African-American community especially has been nothing short of profound. I would be remiss if I didn't speak to that as we are not just coming out of King Holiday, but going into Black History Month. Having grown up on the Lower West Side of Erie, being a part of the board of directors for that neighborhood center, that Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Center, being the board chair of that center now for multiple years, I understood that I had a moral obligation to do my part, because I was the recipient of so much of the good work that was done over the years as I was a child and before I was even thought about. My Aunt Elsie Atkinson was one of the original founders of the King Center. One of my mentors, Fred Rush, his father, Fred Rush Sr., one of the original founders of the King Center. The teacher that had the largest impact on my life, Miss Celestine Davis. She was one of the original founders of the Martin Luther King Center. Two of the change-making agents in society right now, Andre Horton, Gary Horton, their father, one of the founders of the King Center. And so I could go on. There's so many people of color, black people, that have impacted this community for the better and continue to impact this community for the better. And I know that we are focused on the village, but our place in the village is something that we have to continually be mindful of. I think about the efforts of 100 Black Men of America to uplift the trajectory of young black men, because although this is a village conversation, we cannot ignore the plight of young black men as compared to the rest of the village. And so 100 Black Men of America and 100 Black Men of Erie, PA are going after that in order to make a difference. All of that to say that this village within the village is important. And the work is being done on an unprecedented scale. We had the privilege of having Martin Luther King III come to Erie several years ago for that annual dinner that I just talked about. And he was a keynote speaker. And in the private conversations with Martin III, he looked at all the work that was being done in Erie. He did his homework on Erie. And for the city of Erie size, for a city of Erie size, to have as many people in the African-American community step forward to make a difference is noteworthy at best, at the very least, I should say. Coming from a city like Atlanta, seeing all the change agents and difference makers and impact players, if you will, in Atlanta, he was absolutely overwhelmed with the amount of people in our community that have said, here I am, send me. And I think about the nonprofit efforts, large and small, from the neighborhood centers to the Edison Nicholsons and all of the other individuals that have taken it upon themselves to say, I want to be a difference maker. I think we sleep on it sometimes. We become so competitive in community in terms of this program and that program, and we become so tribal that we forget that there are a lot of us that are giving of ourselves and trying to make tomorrow better. And this was an occasion this year, for me anyways, to say not only do I appreciate that, I want to speak to that on the airwaves and at least do my part in giving the African-American community in Erie, PA, its flowers. Because there are so many of you that have made the commitment. I want to play the clip from Dr. King that talks about the stigma against black people and how we should feel about our blackness. And I want you to think about that for a minute as I segue into the last clip that I want to play before we close out. Dr. King and his take on how and why black is beautiful.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. There's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
Very seldom will you ever hear that clip. It's obviously part of a greater speech, a longer speech, but very seldom do you hear that clip. I think to some extent when people hear rhetoric like that, they walk away with the feeling of black supremacy, when nothing could be further from the truth. When you live in a society that says this hue is negative as compared to this lighter hue. When you live in a society that reinforces whiteness as the apex of everything from knowledge to achievement to entitlement, it is necessary to look black children and black people in the eye and say, no, you are beautiful. You are a child of God. Your history is unique, and you should feel empowered as you seek your place in the proverbial village amongst everyone else. It's important that you feel good about who you are. And as I think about that in Erie, once again, with all of these different change agents, I spoke to Curtis Jones Jr. not long ago about all the work he's done in community, from city council to the Chamber of Commerce to being an entrepreneur with his family and trying to make a difference in community overall. We had the privilege of sitting down with his father, Bishop Curtis Jones Sr., founder of Chipper's Restaurant, the family business that they run, founder of New Life and Spirit Revival Church that he runs with his wife, Pastor Vicki Jones. And they started a Black History Museum here, and I'll let him speak to it as we close. And the clip isn't very long, but it underscores everything that I'm saying, that the people that live within these communities, that the African Americans that stand on the shoulders of those that I mentioned earlier, and those that stood on the shoulder of people like Dr. King, are picking up the mantle to not just make this village as a whole stronger, but to increase the bench strength of the African American community going forward, and to remind ourselves and our children that we not only matter, but have made a significant contribution to this world, to this country, and to this city. And even though we're part of the blended whole, it is important and imperative to remember and remind, from Oliver Perry's crew to New Jerusalem on the Lower West Side, African Americans have had an impact in Erie, Pennsylvania. And dare I say, they've had a profound impact in this country. With that, I bring you this clip from Bishop Curtis Jones Sr. on his efforts to bring forth an African American museum in Erie, Pennsylvania. Bishop Jones.
Erie has so much black history that it's overwhelming. And we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg of the African-American history that's just in Erie alone. Mm-hmm. We're looking at, we have a timeline up that goes from 1700 up to 2017. And I've it gives a timeline of just African-American history in Erie, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to uncover that and allow people to see that, and they're like, That's grandpa, or that's great grandpa, and so it is a connection there, and so we're want to be a part of the reconnect. Is that re again? Back to the reconnection of how great we are, mm-hmm. and that's just restricted to, and that's just saying Erie. Now we want to do local history, we want to do state history, we want to do national history, we want to do international history, we want to go back to the motherland, mm-hmm. So it's a lot. We've taken on quite a task, but we're taking one step at a time. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we're starting out with the art pieces. There was it was a young girl. She had heard about it, and her mom brought her over, because after a certain length of time, we had sort of stopped artists from coming in because we had our pieces. This young lady's 12 years old. She came, heard her mom, she said, "We heard you guys are doing it." And she just had a little tablet that she had pictures in. And she said, "Well, I want to be in it, And so what am I going to say?
Exactly.
So I said, "Well, what you need to do, the piece has to be ready to be hung. Go get your frame, put it in the frame." She was in the show.
There you go.
She was excited. It instilled something within her. And along with that, this is just the beginning, the art piece, the museum piece. We want to bring programs in for educating our children. We're looking for mm-hmm. programs that can educate in our children in these different arenas, mm-hmm. as along with other areas that we
That is truly a wonderful thing. So let me just say to all of you, to the African-American community especially, if you are taking 1 hour of your time a week, a month, or whatever, and you're utilizing that time to make this community, this unique group of people especially, better, let me say thank you. Let me give you your flowers. I would rather give, my grandfather would say this, I'd rather give you my money than my time. Why? Because time is unredeemable. I can go make more money. I can't get my time back. And so for a lot of people, they would rather just stroke a check and say, there you go. Go live out your mission. Boy, oh boy, when you see somebody tirelessly giving that unredeemable commodity to make life better for someone else, to shine the light on someone else, to say to someone else, you matter, as Dr. King did, doesn't get any better than that. And so to Bishop Jones, to Curtis Jones Jr., to the King Center, to James Sherrod, to the board, to the Hortons, to Bishop Brock, to all of the people that give of themselves on this King holiday going into our history of blackness, let me say thank you. That's it for our show today. Tune in next time for more discussion and analysis with local and national guests. I need you to remember that Next 2.0 streams on Fridays on all major podcast platforms and the fourth Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. on WQLN NPR 91.3 FM. I'm Marcus Atkinson. Come and join us again so that you hear about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Peace.